Well, I want to thank God that His presence was here this morning. In the Bible study, I love, Dave was saying that he didn't really know where to go with it, but the Lord knows how to move, doesn't He? Before we get started, I just want to open us up in prayer. Everybody, please bow their heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Yahweh God, we come before You right now and we want to thank You. Lord, we praise You for the life that You have given us, God. Lord, that we were able to come together in Your name to worship You and honor You. God, I just pray that You will please, Lord, let Your word be spoken today, God, exactly how You want and what You want. Lord, I pray that every one of us, God, will hear Your word, accept Your word, apply Your word to our lives. God, I pray that Your spirit will abound in us, Lord. God, that we will grow today, Father. Lord, and that our growth will not be hindered by anything that we've brought in here with us today, Lord. But Lord, if there's any weight, if there's anything within us, God, that would hold us back, that we will set it aside. Lord, that we won't just put it to the side to pick up later, God, that we will put it away, put it behind us, throw it in the trash and the garbage to be destroyed, that we'll never return to it again. I ask for Your help, Lord. God, that the words that are spoken will not be mine, but Yours. We love You and we thank You. Your Son's holy name, Yeshua. Amen. We're going to be reading in Psalms. It's a very good book. It's actually probably the first time I've ever actually spoke primarily inside Psalms. I usually use other things, but this is what I felt like God was putting on my heart to speak. We hit on this topic a little bit earlier, but kind of what I feel that the headline for this message would be is God is God alone. I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 13. And, as I was just driving in my truck, I was praying and asking the Lord what, just talking to Him, really. Didn't know at the time, I wasn't sure that I was going to be speaking here this weekend, but I was just talking to God and just thinking. And I was thinking a lot about how we in our daily lives, from day to day, we tend to forget who God is. I forget who God is. I forget that when my car is broke down, that He's the one who allowed it to break down. You know, a lot of times we think situations, and we blame them. We blame the situation for what's going on. But just like with Job, when Satan wanted to tempt Job, we as the children of God have the protection of God around us. And just like with Job, Satan has to ask God. It was brought up earlier that Satan is not equal with God. Satan is below God. Does Satan have power? Most certainly. But he has no power if it's not given to him from the Father. And whatever happens in our lives, It is allowed by God to happen for a purpose. Every single situation that we encounter can either draw us to God, or we can allow Satan to do what he wants to do to that situation, which is draw us away from God. And that's the two choices. You know, we battle with ourselves. We battle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, wickedness in high places. The battle that we're fighting is not a battle of flesh and blood. We see the physical side of it because we are made carnal. We're made physical. We are physical beings. And a lot of times we can't see the spiritual aspect. We can't see the spiritual side of it. But there is. Everything that happens in our lives has a spiritual impact. Everything. Whether it's the way, could be the clothes that we wear. Strange, huh? It's pretty physical. But that can have a spiritual impact. For the men, if a supermodel came in through the back door wearing very skimpily clad, that can have a spiritual impact on his soul, by drawing his heart away, making him think impure thoughts. For the women, I ain't going to go into that because I'm not a woman. I don't want to touch a woman's mind. I'm sorry. But there are things that men do that can have a spiritual impact on the ladies by drawing their hearts, their minds, their emotions away from the one person who is worthy of who they are, of who we are. We're in Psalms chapter 13, in verse 1. It says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Sounds like David's having a pretty rough day. How many people here have ever had a day like that? A day where things are going wrong. A day when you feel like you're in a rut. You feel like you're in a pit and you can't get back out. And you're asking, "God, where are you? You know, I'm stuck here. And I don't know what's going on." I think we all struggle with situations like that from time to time. Maybe more than others, some people more than others. I know there's been weeks, man, I just feel like I'm soaring. Then it feels like I hit a wall. It's like, "God, what happened? Where are you?" You know, I was getting along just fine, and all of a sudden, bam, whatever it was that hit me. Maybe my truck tore down. Maybe I had a family member that passed away, a friend that passed away. Maybe I had somebody come and chew me out for something that I didn't even do. Whatever the situation, it happens. Verse 2 says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" Sounds like he's having a lot of problems. He feels like he's being beat down. We feel like we're being beat down. "Consider and hear me, O Yahweh, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." So he feels like he's about to fall. He's been running this race. He's been living his life for the glory of God, but he feels like he's about to fall. That's how far he's gotten to. Satan wants to see us fall. Amen? Satan wants to see us stumble. He wants to see us just throw up our hands and say, okay, I quit. I'm done. I'm out of here. What am I even up here for? You know, just get out of here. He wants to see us give it up. And it's funny. We oftentimes feel like giving up's going to fix it. We've been in a struggle, we've been in a battle, we've been fighting this whole time. And our instinct is to just give up. But that never fixes the problem. My truck was broke down. And yeah, I got a little frustrated with it from time to time. Kept having to fix one thing and fix another and fix another. Had to redo it like two or three times, certain parts of it. But I knew the longer I let it sit means the harder it was going to be for me. It's harder it was on my dad. Me and my dad have a trucking business. I'm using his truck when I should be using mine, and he should be using his. We're trying to juggle this back and forth, and it's making it harder for both of us at the same time. I had to get the problem resolved. I had to get the problem fixed. I had the truck limping a couple days. I think I finally got it where it'll go now. Right. We had to use it, but it still had some issues. But we're still pressing on. We're still working it with it. Don't give up. Because when you give up, the problem doesn't get resolved. The problem gets worse. Verse 5 says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." I will sing unto Yahweh because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I know myself, there's a lot of times when I'll be going along, I don't know why on earth I'm down. Just little things happen. I get down, get upset, get frustrated, get anxious. I have to start thinking, you know what? This is a little tiny problem. You know? Just a little small thing. But look at everything else that I have. Sure. Maybe my truck has a flat tire. Yeah, that's a major issue. Tires aren't cheap. Especially for semis. You know, maybe I've got an oil leak. Need to tear it down, need to fix it. Maybe my favorite football team lost the game. Man, that's bad. But you know what? These little problems that we have, usually, if we look at it, these little problems are nothing more than tests, trials. Sometimes these little problems that we have Help build character within us. And when we look at the problem, we can realize we're blessed to even be able to have that problem. I mean, how many of us have ever had to call a plumber to fix their toilet? It stopped up. Man, this is horrible. Horrible problem. Get all upset and, you know what? You're blessed. You have plumbing. You're blessed. You have running water. You're blessed. You didn't have to dig a hole and go squat over it. You're blessed. But a lot of times we look at the problems rather than the blessings. And I think that's what David had to get to, the point he had to get to here. He said, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. We have to be thankful for the blessings that we have. And not look at the curse, but look at the blessing. Go to Psalms chapter 139. You know, we was talking about earlier that if someone had accidentally committed murder, it wasn't murder, but they accidentally killed somebody, they're supposed to go to a safe city. And God tells them, you have to stay in that city until the priest dies. Lest the avenger of blood comes and seeks your life. I wonder how many of those guys went to this city and were like, man, I gotta stay here in this city. You know, 10 years, 15 years. Still here, still stuck here, complaining. When they had the provision of life. The Lord had given them life. We don't need to be complainers. A lot of times the situations we're in aren't exactly what we choose for ourselves. But we do have the blessing of life. You know, a lot of times we complain about the little things. Oh, I got a cold. Oh, it's so horrible, so bad. Man, I got allergies. I personally have allergies to dander. And it's upsetting. So I just avoid the issue. Stay away from what causes my allergies. But, you know, we don't need to complain about what we have. The little problems that we have. We're blessed to even be able to be alive to have them. I have a friend that died. She was 22 years old. One evening, she was hanging out with her friends. The next morning, she was blue on her bed, dead. A very amazing young woman. She lived her life. And she lived it to the fullest. Whenever she saw someone in need, it was something that I saw, just I didn't realize. I was talking to a friend about this the other day. I went to her funeral. And a lot of the people there were the people that nobody else accepted. She lived her life because she knew that she was accepted of Christ and she wanted to accept others. I've got a friend up in North Dakota right now. His family's rejected him. His church has rejected him. And his mom had to leave a wedding last weekend because he was caught shoplifting. Why am I saying this? Because we all have life. The problem is we usually put ourselves in a box. We usually put ourselves in situations. We put ourselves where, oh, I'm not with them, or I'm not here, I'm not there. We need to bless each other. We have the blessing of life that God gave us. God gave us the breath of life. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life so that we could live. My friend won't go to church anymore up in North Dakota. He started out a normal kid. I guess now he's 16. 4 years ago, you wouldn't have known much. He was quiet, hung to himself, stayed to himself. He had situations in his life. His dad was never around. Dad actually lived in another state. Didn't really care. His mom did what she could, but her family always looked down on him because of who he was. So he started, little bit by little bit, changing. Progression. Progression is something that we do slowly. Change. Change is not usually something we do in an instant. Slowly, because of their dissension against him, their dislike of him, because of incidents, he slowly started fading. Well, instead of dressing up for church, I'll just wear my street clothes. Well, didn't really change the way they thought of him. They just looked at him a little bit weird. Okay. So next thing he does is he starts dressing a little bit more crazy. Well, now he sees his true friends are, because everybody's really looking down their noses at him. It's a point now you see go and look at a poster for a punk rock band, and you see my friend, you think that might be him. And it really hasn't changed much in his church. They've always looked down at him. They still look down on him. He's a good kid, but he's not accepted. So he figures, if I'm not accepted, I'm just going to keep on going. We need to put down our biases. And I'm not speaking this because hopefully nobody in here is unaccepting of others. But it's something I know. It's something personal with me, because this kid's a real good kid. He's a real good friend of mine. He won't even hardly talk to me anymore because he feels, I don't know. He told his mom, he said, he's the only Christian I like. Because every other Christian won't accept him. Every other Christian won't speak to him, won't talk to him. Won't act like he's a human being, which he is, with a soul just like me and you. How many people here have friends? Oh, surely, come on, you guys ain't friendless. How many here have ever felt like or have felt the pain of being defriended? It hurts. I still love you, Caleb, don't worry. It hurts. It hurts a lot. And when it's day after day after day after day after day after day, you get to that point where David was at. It's like, how long, O Lord, am I going to give up? You know, it's just like, where's that? Where am I at? It's hard. That's really not my sermon. That's not my speech. That's just what I felt like talking about right now. It's my soapbox, I guess. But we have life. We have so much given to us. Let's not hold that back. Let's not keep that in. We was talking about faith earlier. Faith without works is flamboyant, right? Faith without works is everything we need. It's life. No. Faith without works is dead. And I was thinking about this earlier. You know, people was mentioning, you know, how can you really have faith without the works? It happens. I know that if I'm hungry, if I've got food in my refrigerator, I can go eat it. I know that if I'm thirsty, I can go to my tap and get some water. I know there's been times that I woke up in the middle of the night, my throat will be dry. But I'm too lazy to go and get a glass of water. So I just go back to sleep. Then in the morning, my throat's really dry. I believe, I know that I can get myself up out of bed and go get myself a glass of water. But I don't do it. I have faith to know that my thirst will be quenched if I get up to go get myself a glass of water, but I don't do it. I just lay there with a dry throat. You can believe, you can have all faith, but if you don't act on it, it's dead. It's worthless. You know, we can believe there's a God, but if we choose to accept that He should have some control over our lives, it profits us nothing. He might as well be dead to us. We're dead to Him. We don't accept His rules. We don't accept His regulations. We don't accept that He truly does have standards for us to live by. If we're going to have faith, use it. You show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Yes, we can have faith and still be dead. If you believe that God has given you life, you actually don't have to believe it. But I see every single person here, and I know that you're here. I know you're alive. It's a fact. You may not believe that God's given you a gift, but He has. But are you going to use it? What is your gift? That's not for me to say. If it's simply to wake up in the morning and the first person you say, "I hope you have a great day." That's a gift. It's a gift to me. When somebody gives me a smile and I'm down and they say it's going to be okay, to me, that's a gift. Because it helps me realize that, yeah, you know what? Life will continue. Life will go on, and I might as well be happy about it. We all have a gift that we can share. We all have something that we can share. We all have mouths. We can smile. You know, I think I might even have it in my Bible, but I cut out a piece of paper that was, it's in my wallet. It was in a paper. Just a little, I don't know, probably one by one piece, but it says, smile, it's contagious. It really is. You know, you can brighten somebody's day with a smile. Then I could just stand up here and go, God is love. And I know that's going to brighten y'all's day. But he's better than that. Psalms 139. O Yahweh, thou hast searched me and known me. Whoa, he actually cares about us. He has searched us out. He has searched who we are. He actually knows us on a personal level. Everything about us. Pretty smile. He knows everything about us. He knows what makes us happy. He knows what makes us sad. He knows what we like to eat. He knows how many hairs are on our head. I don't even know how many freckles are on my hand. I don't take the time to count. He knows that too. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He knows us on a personal level that nobody else ever can or ever will. Why? Because he cares for us. Because he loves us. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much. God loves you so much that he wants to know every single thing about you in a personal way that nobody else will even take the time to try. But they never could anyways. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Yahweh, thou knowest it altogether. You know, you ever had a friend that you may be saying a sentence, and they finish it for you? God's like that. He knows it. He knows what we're going to say. Because he cares about us that much. He loves us that much. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. A lot of times we try and run. A lot of times we try and hide to get away from people, from situations. I know there's times, sometimes we run away because we really want to get away. Then there's other times that we run away and we're questioning, do they even care? Are they even going to search us out? Are they even going to worry to find out where we are? It's like playing hide and go seek. When you go and hide and nobody comes to find you, it takes the fun out of it. It's no fun sitting out in a tree for about 3 hours and then realizing that the person that's supposed to be looking for you isn't even looking for you at all. They're up eating a hamburger. Jesus doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. He loves us so much. He searches for us. He seeks us out. He finds us no matter where we go. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, Even there shall thy right hand lead me, or shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God is God alone. You know, I was thinking when I was praying, I was asking, asking God, you know, a lot of different questions. You know, we have all these superheroes today. We have all these role models today. You know, if you ever watched any Marvel comics or read any Marvel comics, you know, you have people that have the power of the water, and people that have superpowers, you know, within either they have the power to control certain elements. In Acts, Paul's talking to a group of people. I have to look and see where it's at. In Athens. They have a God for just about anything that they want, anything that they need. It says that all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear of some new thing. And so they're asking Paul, who are you speaking? You know, who are you speaking about when you're talking about Jesus? And he talks to them about have an altar to an unknown God. The God who controls all things, has power over all things. A lot of times we look for something to bring us joy. A lot of times, maybe that's the television. Maybe that's just our time killer. Maybe it's our pastimes. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's our whatever it is that we find. There's one God of joy. There's one God of happiness. There's one God of peace. There's one God of contentment. There's one God over the sun. There's one God over the moon, over the stars. We don't have to do some sort of rain dance if our corn's getting dry. If it's too hot outside, we don't have to go, you know, give an offering to the sun. We have one God who created all things. He is all powerful. He's over all things. And He cares so much that He knows us on a personal level. We try and fill all our voids in our lives with different things. But there's only one thing that can truly fill our lives. And that is God. Because He created us. Because He made us. He molds us. But we have to accept that. We can have all the faith that we want that He can fill us. We can have all the faith that we want that He can preserve us. We can have all the faith that we want that He can take care of us. But until we apply that faith, It's dead. You know, saying, God, I know you can heal me. Well, that's good. Scripture says, oh, you believe a God. I can just imagine him saying it like that. Oh, you believe a God. Good job. Pat you on the back. The demons believe, and they tremble because they know he's powerful. So what, you believe there's a God? So what, you believe there's a creator? That's a fact. It's not something to be commended for because you believe. Is he working in your life? Are you showing the proof that he is God? Are you showing the proof that you believe that he has control and power over your life? That's the question. Verse 13 says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Every breath that we take is a gift from God. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Yahweh, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And here we go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. We can know, we can believe all day long. But are we asking him to search us out, to know our hearts, and to try to know our thoughts, to try us? To see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me, Lord. The things that are inside of me that are wrong, the things that are inside of me that are broken, the things that are inside of me that are hardened, that need to be changed. Lord, lead me. So that I can be a better person for you. Because if you believe in him, that's great. That's the first step. But we have to allow him to lead us. Do we allow him to lead our lives? Will you allow him to lead your life? Allow him to become your God. Because if he's your God, that means that you're going to obey him. That means you're going to believe the words that he said. That means you're going to trust him and accept him. the plans that He has for your life. A lot of times it's easier to say, yes, I believe God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, I believe He made a rest for us on the seventh day. Yes, I believe He gave me my life today. Well, now, use it for Him. That's what He created us for. To glorify Him. And by glorifying Him, by helping others, by reaching out, by using what He has given us every day, we are accepting He is all-powerful over us. That He is the Almighty God. That's what we want. To accept that He is our Creator. To accept that He is God means that we accept His power over our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh God, we just come before You, God, and we thank You for the life that You have given us. Lord, I pray that You will use us every day, God. Lord, though our offering may be small, though we may not have much to give, Lord, we do have our lives. We are grateful to You. I pray, Lord, that You will lead us, that You will guide us. Help us to accept and to realize that every moment we can glorify You. I pray that our lives will be a living example and a sacrifice to You. You are our God. We praise You. Thank You. In Your Son, Yeshua's holy name we pray.
I know everybody enjoyed Dustin's words, and we really appreciate him coming and bringing the message to us today. I'd like to make a couple of announcements. It's very good to have all of the ones that don't usually get to come. We welcome our visitors, and we ask that you come back and visit us again as often as you can. We do have a lunch prepared for everybody across the street at our fellowship hall, and everybody is welcome to come and be sure and join us for fellowship and food, and let's just get to know each other better. Also, I'd like to thank the ones that were here last Sabbath. Carolyn and I was away in Terre Haute, Indiana at a fellowship meeting at Brother Mark Mundell's there, and it went real well. Had a very good service with all of the brothers and sisters there, and I want to thank the ones that helped carry on here at our church while we were away. So thank you for the different things that the different ones did. For doing what you could for the service in the church. I'd like to ask if everybody would to stand to your feet. And we're going to read the blessing of God to each of us and our blessing to each other. So let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. If you would, bow with me in prayer.